Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, Alan. Happy to be here. Thursday night, a day behind schedule. Thanks for the bonus brownie point idea. I definitely took full credit for that. When I was like, look, I've just messaged Alan to tell him we're not going to do Wednesday night. And Alan was very pleased with my decision. So you're a legend.
Yep, nah, good job. You put your foot down. I really wanted to push ahead. but you were like, absolutely not. My wife comes first. And I don't give a shit what you got on tomorrow. We're doing it tomorrow. And I said, oh, fine. Sorry, big dog, Chris. my apologies. It's exactly how it went down. Ella, I hope you're listening.
No chance, Alan will listen.
That's it. Nah, I know, right? No, it's good. We got a little reprieve. Normally, we get a couple messages like, the hell? But I think people are used to us now just having a random Thursday here and there, which is good. Just set that bar low.
People don't fucking listen anymore. One or the other.
That could be true. I really haven't actually looked at the numbers in a while. We could just be talking ourselves. what was that Instagram post I just saw? What is Jeremy Cameron playing down at Inverley?
Yeah. Just hanging out with the Kangaroos, playing nine on the sand scrapes. He rocked up, no idea that sand scrapes still existed, he reckons, and was pretty disappointed to find them when he got there. But yeah, I haven't watched the video in its entirety. I've watched the first couple of holes. He goes best part of nearly eagle in hole one, to be honest. He puts it within like 15 yards off the tee of a par four. But yeah, don't know if disc golf gets a mention. Unfortunately, I don't think it does, which is a bit of a missed opportunity if you wanted to pump up those views. But yeah, it's out there. It's worth a watch. It's on YouTube. Darty plays Inverley.
Yeah, definitely more higher interest in the disc golf side online. I guarantee there's more people who watch disc golf than that stick golf game. So yeah, really missed out on one there, Jeremy. But yeah, good luck this weekend, I guess, big fella.
Yeah.
I got some word from Chris Hart as well about the plans for Inverley. So last week I said I had no idea what the plans were because I never asked. The full second 18. So the nine that we played is going to be part of a full second 18. So I guess the whole one tee pad is going to be, I think he said it was potentially like out past, like off to the right of hole one. Now, so you'd have to sort of walk that fairway.
Yep.
And then, yeah, they got nine more holes that they've got the ideas for. I think he said they've got the baskets. They've just got to, sort out getting it done. But I think we're not too far off having a whole other 18 at Inverley. So, it's going to be the place to be soon, for sure.
That's big. There's Ballarat versus Geelong. For the disc golf central of the state, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm hearing they might be getting a new practice basket somewhere at Bald Hill as well. So that could be a contender for a big player in the game as well.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if they put some more bricks in the ground, so we can have some pretty cool putting games. It's worth the drive.
It's worth the drive. Get out there. It's basically equivalent. Yeah. Melbourne's got nothing, man. We suck. What's going on?
We struggle.
Can we get one good course? Shit. All right. I listened to the Tour Life podcast today, and I heard about the Bud Hill controversy. Are you around this?
Masters at Bud Hill. I've got Reddit open right as we speak. I'm not one of those Reddit fiends like a lot of people, but I've got Reddit open right in front of me.
I'm afraid to even open Reddit. I don't understand it. That's too much. That's like that's for me, that's like the dark web. I don't fuck with Reddit.
Yeah.
But if you've got some info, let us know what happened.
Well, some bloke embezzled $27,000 and said, sorry, but I do this every year. So is that cool?
It's wild. So from what I've heard, so he's the TD, and I guess he gets the money for the event like pretty far in advance from all the players. And then just doesn't work over the winter, which I don't, like, I don't know why that's a factor in his post, but and then uses the money from that tournament to fund a bunch of other tournaments, and throughout the year makes the money back, and then has the money good for the event. But yeah, this year it didn't work out. He had some medical bills he had to pay. So he's just spending the money, right?
Yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, my bad. I'll get all your money back. Just like, it'll probably take me a while. What the fuck?
So crazy. But like, yeah, none of it makes sense because like, it's just, it's awkward all way. Like the whole thing's awkward because he's like, yeah, look, yeah, I do this normally, but what happens is, like, then I rob from every other event that I run to make sure that I've got this money back. Like, just none of it's good.
I just can't believe he owned up to it all. Yeah. Like, he put it out there. Like, I don't know how. Like, he'll probably get arrested for this.
Yeah, he should. Right? He should, but he's got the PDGA's in his corner.
Yeah. PDGA is just like, oh, we'll do an investigation. I'm like, he gave you the info.
Yeah.
He confessed. Like, yeah. What do you mean, bro? Wild. Real, real wild story. Did not expect to be hearing that one today.
No.
So, maybe things aren't so bad in Australia. There's a lot of flack going around for TDs not giving enough payouts, but at least they ain't just taking the money and spending it on whatever.
Yeah, yeah, true. Nah, no one's made 27 grand.
Nah. So, yeah, that guy's just set the bar pretty low for everyone. But, yeah, that shit's wild. If you want to look more into it, yeah, Bud Hill Masters, just check that out. And, yeah, apparently Reddit is ablaze with comments.
Yeah, and also it's worth checking out Disc Golf Course Review. That website used to go off back in the day. When I first got into disc golf, Disc Golf Course Review was where it at. And I've told this story on the pod before, but one of my favorite memories of Disc Golf Course Review was who's that guy from Brisbane that brought the rock? Nathan Lee. My favorite memory from Disc Golf Course Review was Joel Payton and Nathan Lee just going absolute ham on each other on Disc Golf Course Review, but Joel was under some sort of crazy Chuck Liddell alias back in the day. And Nate had no idea that he was just like going to and fro with another Aussie. It's one of my favorite Disc Golf Course Review memories of all time.
Oh, that is good. I did not know about that at all. That is gold. Endless entertainment, I can imagine. Going back and forth with Nate Lee.
Off air with Joel one time, we'll have to go into a bit more detail.
Oh, 1,000%. 1,000%. Green Jacket weekend. We got entertainment sorted. that's good. Another thing that I saw that is coming up, which is going to be pretty cool, I think, will be the Wild West Shootout. So, Melbourne Disc Golf Club and Ballarat Disc Golf Club have a little collab where they realize that Melton is only like, 45 minutes or something from Ballarat, correct, from Xavier?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're running the Melton Social Day, the upcoming one on October 6th-ish. And in the morning, and then you're going to head over, or anyone who's keen can head over to Mount Xavier, play the fantastic Xavier course in the Arvo, and it's going to be a bit of a like a whole day setup, right? They'll have prizes across the day for, you know, like turning it kind of like a tournament, right? Is that how you read it?
And they're backing Xavier straight into like this doubles charity cause event as well. So it's two rounds at Xavier potentially.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, actually I did see that. For the cancer charity foundation, Camp for Cancer it's called. So anyone who has that day free, make sure you're getting out there and checking it out. The Wild West Shootout. I think you put a post from the Ballarat stuff on our socials today.
I definitely did. And I've also signed up for both on Metrics. However, I'm pretty sure I'm unavailable in really sad news. So I'm going to leave my sign up there for as long as possible and see if I can swindle something with the wife. But it's looking unlikely, sadly.
Well, I think so. Street League, that was meant to be the final round of Street League. But because of this, we're moving it to the day before, the 5th. At Ruffy Lake, and I have a Bucks party that day, so I'm unavailable. So, if you're not available on the 6th, you better be available on the 5th.
On the 5th. This is working out in Street League's favor, just not in Mount Saviour's favor for me, but I'll take it. And I'm speaking of Street League, I know we'll get to this in a few weeks' time, but it might even be next week, isn't it? I'm keen for the Glow one, and I'll be there.
Yeah, sick. When I saw you put your hand up for that, I was pretty shocked. Thursday afternoon coming from that side of the city to this side. But, yeah, 7:30 at night, plenty of time to get there.
It's also school holidays, so I am as free as a bird. Easy.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I think it's going to be fun. So I love a bit of Glow Golf. And I've got a nice new Glow Destroyer now too. So should be a lot of fun. I need to follow up with actually a couple people on our team to see who's available, because there's a few that, yeah, it's going to be tough, but we'll get by. All right, so we're about to go into the Bicentennial Social Day, the precursor, if you will, for last week's Street League. But before we do that, I need to touch on something pretty important. So a while ago, Aiden aced hole 10 at Bicentennial. Do you remember that?
Oh, how could I forget? Was it a Glow night, maybe?
I don't know. I can't remember. We've rightfully pumped it up. We're like, man, I remember that hole being that super hard. Heiseline, I've never even heard of a Heiseline. Like, I haven't played Bicentennial for ages. I think the social day was maybe my second time. But, yeah, played it on the weekend. Aiden didn't ace. He didn't. He couldn't have. There's no line, so he didn't. I don't care if people saw it. I don't care if it's on a scorecard. He didn't. So, if you see Aiden, you just let him know he is a liar, because he didn't. He didn't ace. So I stood on that tee pad and I looked at the alleged area in which he threw a disc for it to then travel to the basket, and he didn't. So, I just wanted to really clear that up before we got into the social day stuff.
All right, sweet. Because that's been bothering me, because I've only ever stood there once, and I was in that camp. But thanks for confirming my original thoughts.
Yeah, no, he didn't. If you've ever given him like a high five or like a well done for it, like try to get that back, take that back. He doesn't deserve it because, he didn't. Nice. All right, I'm just trying to find our social day results. Have you got them up in front of you at the moment?
Yeah, of course I do.
Excellent. You want to start running through some of them?
Let me bring up the special ones. Let me bring up the C grade, thingamajiggies.
Yeah, here we go. Got it. Yeah.
Got it. So what do I have? Let's start. Zed. We had a bunch of Division Zed. That's always good to see. Nick Valentini found himself in Zed grade. Birdie free. How is that man doing? He hasn't hit a birdie at Bicentennial. Is he struggling?
No, he's getting back into it.
He's getting back into it.
He
lost to good old Tobias Carl. Yeah, someone or other. So, well done to Pius in Div Z. David Norton and Elijah Norton are kind of also playing. Div X, so a couple of people about to be with handicaps. I see Michael Smith there again. Is this the same Michael Smith that, like, is at Stony every day, but he hasn't played enough social days to have a rating yet? That's crazy. But
that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I know, right? Unless this is a Chris Scott situation and we've got a few Michael Smiths now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you happen to meet Ross Davies by any chance?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure there was a guy in the UK that I used to play with called Ross Davies. Anyway, he's Div X, and he took the win. And it looks like in Div C, our man, who we're on or we're off, but we're back on, Jason Wiedner, takes the win by 7 strokes.
7 strokes. Huge.
Huge.
Huge. +3. That's good shooting.
Yeah.
It was pretty windy out there. And it's harder. Like, it's harder than you think. Like, I don't know. It's short, so you feel like you should be getting it, but you just don't get as many birdies as you think you should. It's a very frustrating course that way. Because it's like, when you do get them, you're not even satisfied. You're like, yeah, should have. But you just don't. So, +3 is good scoring. So, well done there, Jace.
A lot of precariously placed trees is my memory. And, you know, some, like, pretty like specific shot shapes on a couple of the tighter ones. And then if it's not a precarious shaped placed tree, it's a precarious green. So
yeah,
you just don't score like you do on a couple of the other Melbourne courses.
No, like I feel like it's like roughy, but it isn't. Like yeah. I feel like I should be getting the same score as a roughy, but just nowhere near it.
Yeah. What about Div B?
Looks like we got Mark Green out on top with a -1. Your boy Cam Ford was doing plenty of work early, though, and then just came through in the clutch for me. Double bogey, 12, bogey 14, bogey 15. Beautiful. Love that. Thanks, Cam. But he finished second place. He finished second place even. Sean Maisie there, and Doug, and Levi Norton, and Abby Cunningham, all with +2, tied for third place in Div B. But yeah, Mark Green, the only one under par. So well done there, Marky boy. Where are we at? Have I missed something?
Div A.
Okay. Oh yeah, Div A. No surprises there, Dazza. Way out in front with a -7. Scoring is just harder. Ryan Deere, Tim Ware, Narada, Peter Chu, all there in second place with -4. So just feels like we should be getting more, but we just don't. So those are good disc golfers, and they shot -4. Dazza 3 clear of them with a bogey on hole 2. So hot form for our man.
Definitely. I was there. Good to see Peter Chu. Back up on the podium. A couple of hypes from us, a couple of rev ups from us, and look what we've done. The man finds himself back on the podium. So you're welcome, Peter. Thank us later.
Yep. Hopefully he quit his job or broke up with his girlfriend or something. He's put the time in, and look at him. Right up there with Narada. I went around even. I don't know. I didn't throw well at all. I think I threw one shot of the 18, like one tee shot, the way I intended. The other 17 were not. Too high, too low, too left, too right. Yeah, anyway, don't worry about that. So I wasn't feeling super spicy for Street League.
No. And obviously, you know, we got Stoyer and Anderson sitting down the bottom there as well, and definitely had my interest peaked going into Street League, how that was going to shake out. But you alluded to it before. I had definitely had Cam Ford. I was pretty happy with the bet you gave me. I was hopeful just for a cheeky one from Cam. You know, he could have taken so many scalps, and at one stage he was taking like 7. I was like, here we go.
He was taking plenty, yeah.
Here we go. But in the end, he's only taken the 3, which is it's about right. He's in Div B for a reason, apparently. So I'll take the 3 points.
That gets you up to 29 points on the dollars guarantee. And what do I have?
I can't remember. I can't remember for the life of me. I look forward to you reminding me.
I don't know. I know I won it, but I can't remember. I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah, I do remember now. Excellent. I had Brett Bobridge to lose to Levi Norton. Levi Norton just had to beat Brett Bobridge. I have no idea who Levi was.
That's right.
He was just the same rating as Brett, and I knew that Brett had scorned me in the past, And I wanted to put some negativity out there, bet against him. And I think Taryn might have told Brett, or Brett had a listen, I can't remember, but he came up to me at the players meeting and he's like, "You've made a good call because my shoulders feel a little sketchy." And I was like, "Excellent." but yeah, he started like birdie. I was like, "You piece of shit. Like, you're a piece of shit, Brett." Like, I was so mad. And then, yeah, he really came through for me in the end. So it wasn't even close. Levi Norton, what a star. Third place in Div B, smashed Brett Bobridge. So that gave me 5 points. So I'm up to 25. I'm four behind you. I've got, I've been rolling around with a few different versions of something in my head for later on, but not sure what it'll be just yet.
All right. I've got, I'm on a coin flip myself. I've got a bet lined up, and depending on how you point me, I'll go against my own bet to get more nice points the other way.
Gotcha. Yeah. I've had designs on something like that ever since the team, the one at Invalid when I backed, Jace Vito.
Yeah.
I was like, you gave me something. I was like, all right, I feel like I can set something like that up and then flip it on you. but I need to find a good time for that. So the prizes were, Alex sent us, Alex is just, what a guy.
What a guy.
He sent us a little recap. So Div A, X, and Z, CTP was taken out by Dazza. I can't remember what hole it was, but I think I was nowhere near it. Div B, Cam Ford. Div C, Jace Wiedner. And the handicap winners for Div A was Narada. He's up and about.
There he is.
He's up and about. Mark Green got Div B, and Jace Wiedner got Div C. So, but because he won the overall, I think, Ryan Miranda gets the prize as the runner-up, or maybe because Jace got the CTB. Could be it. But Jace Wiedner has done the hat trick. He won the CTB, the handicap, and the raw score for his division. So, nice little day out there for Jace.
I love the I want to say synergy. I don't know if it's correct use of the word, but we were very much materializing hat tricks just last week on the podcast when we were talking about Ash and his disc, and then he put up a post with some hat trick cricket trophies, and next minute his brother's like, "Give me a piece of this hat trick action," and here he is taking all of them.
Yeah, taking all of them. That's it. While we're on that too, I forgot to mention at the start before moving to Street League. Have you been watching the Pine Lions coverage?
No, I haven't.
It's good. I've been watching a bit of it. I'm not fully all the way through yet. But, yeah, they're doing good. And they have Blake Howson on coverage. He's doing the commentary with Jace and Maddie. So normally the majors get done by the tee-off boys. But I think, Jace was saying something about how the TD was sort of specifying they wanted either someone from WA or Blake specifically on the comms. And it just worked out, better for these boys to do instead of the tee-off guys. So it's good, though. I like the chemistry between Jace and Maddie. They're funny. And, Blake sort of keeps it moving along so it doesn't get caught in the weeds a little, which is good.
Just and, trust the kid to bring the professionalism.
Yeah, exactly. But he's funny as well, and he's pretty savage on his mate, Alex. So Blake didn't play. I think he was out of the country or out of the state or something. But, yeah, his good mate, Alex, he gives it to him plenty. And he's dominating the tournament, but he still finds ways to let him know that he's done something wrong, or anytime he does do something good, he goes, "Oh, that's my disc." Or it's a bit of fun, so check it out. And we've given Parks a fair bit of shit this year, deservedly so.
Like, not backing away from that.
Yeah, everything we've said is been on point, but we still got to we sort of give them their props when they're getting it right, and they're pumping heaps of it now. The coverage is always good. We don't talk enough about the camera work and stuff because it's, I don't know, it's always there, it's consistent, But yeah, they do a great job of that. They're getting heaps of shit. It's coming out now. The commentary's good. Yeah. If you see the park guys around, just let them know they're doing a good job.
Yeah, and support them. Buy their merch. Get their badges. Do all this shit. I saw they got to 1,000 followers, which is huge. Look, the reality is ever since Theo joined us in this beautiful world, I have less downtime for watching disc golf. And so I don't, you know, Jomez doesn't even get a go. I struggle. I struggle to get onto the tubes at the moment, but if I do ever get a moment, I will be catching up on some park media coverage.
Beautiful. All right, let's go into the Street League then. So I was nervous, I can tell you that. Stoyer, not good. I was not good. Timmy Stevens, I played with him. He was off. And what, Taron was not good at the social day. Sketch. Simon Farrar was not, he did not have a good day. I can't remember what Max did, but not good. But we needed that pressure. We pulled it out in the end for the Street League. We come good. The Sam Stoyer versus Chris Scott battle was very interesting because they were both undefeated coming into the day. So someone was going home sad and someone was going home potentially the only undefeated player. I still got to put them stats together. And it was our man, Sam Stoyer, on top, back and forth early. I think the first five holes was no splits.
No splitsies.
But then, yeah, Sam just put the foot down, a few clutch putts, one real big one at the end to seal the deal, which was nice. Gets it done over Chris. So, Chris now the defeated. And then, yeah, a bit of the same thing with me and Timmy Pollock. So, little battles early, and then, I was just hitting my lines in the second round. So, happy days, couple of big putts as well. We both won four up. Tim Stevens and Peter Chu, it was a great battle. Real great battle. They were back and forth, heaps. They were just, like, one up, even. Really good to watch. Timmy played great. Pete was great in spots, and then just didn't know what was happening in spots, but I think Pete might have won the last two holes to go two up, so no good. And I didn't see Doug versus Simon, but Doug got it very convincingly, which is this is your fault, Chris.
Okay.
So we had Doug in our team, yes. And then the bullies couldn't field a full squad, so I said, oh, well, we've got a Merc Freely. You can have them, and then we'll have even numbers. You can have Doug. And then you pull out day before. So I had to find a second Merc, and my second Merc lost to my first Merc. So cool. Thanks, Chris.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And then Max Tats and Taron Anderson got up early on Sean Maisie and Mike van der Linden and never let up. So big 3-2 win for the Chainsmokers over the Bullies. Sam Stoyer takes the player of the day for us for defeating Chris Scott, the previously undefeated. And then Peter Chu got the chocolates for the Bullies by virtue of being the only non-Merc who got a win for him. So what are you looking at in the Wallies versus Brennan's disc golf team battle?
There was some big dogs in that battle. Some absolute big dogs came out. So both our teams, obviously, Bullies and Chainsmokers, fair to say, pretty undermanned. But not so much the Wallies or Brennan. And was there an upset in there or what?
Was there?
I feel like there was. Ryan Deer plus Brennan Venton taking down Leo Dykes and Darren Stay Smith.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I wouldn't call it that big of an upset. They're two big dogs on both teams.
They are.
Head-to-head.
They are. But, geez, I just...
I guess Brennan's not... They're second big dog, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Nah, you're definitely right. It was an upset in the alt doubles, too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I don't know. That definitely one up. Daz doesn't have many Ws in the Street League, let's be honest.
Nah, I know. It's so sad. He plays so good, but he just finds ways to lose them. I don't know what's going on.
I can tell you what you can do to avoid the L's, Daz. you can just pull out the day before like me. You don't.
From what I heard, Dazzle was doing a lot of the heavy lifting as well, and like willed them into a three hole playoff or something, or five hole playoff, some crazy long playoff.
Yeah.
But yeah, not good enough.
I'm also seeing the OGs themselves, Narada and Nick, got to pair up. They would have absolutely loved that, and got to take on Brett. So, that would have been quite a card to be on. And Narada and
So Brett was late out with illness. He never made it there. So it was Al, Don, and one of the guys from DivX or Div, one of the new people. He was an Estonian guy that's traveling around. So. Yeah, it would have been good to see the Brett on Narada crime, but
Justin smacked Jason, Honey smacked Levi, and Tim Ware got the W over Cam Ford for Where's Wally's to take the chocolates.
I was watching that Tim versus Cam battle because Tim on a tear Ware was at way out in front, and then like four up, and then Cam brought it all the way back to all square. And then Tim must have done enough in the end. But, that came down to a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. The Honey versus Levi one did not. And what the hell's Jace doing? How's Jace just win everything and then lose five?
Yeah.
It's a street league. To Justin. Justin's all right, but he's not. He's not like his Leo.
No.
You know what I mean? Jace can hang with Justin. Apparently not.
Apparently not.
I need to talk to Dad. I thought there was some shenanigans going on when I saw the alt doubles having all those four guys in it. But apparently, Brennan must have reached out and was like, "How can we make this fair?" And then that's I don't know how that makes that fair. That makes Cam 40 number one. I don't know. I wouldn't. It was free picks. I wouldn't have had Ryan and Brennan in the alt doubles if I was Brennan, but they got a win. So
yeah, they did.
But 4-1 for the Wallies. That must put them so far ahead on the leaderboard now, right?
Let's have a little look-see. 33 up with the 4-round wins, 15 match wins, and 33 up, followed by us with the 3-round wins. 14 match wins, so they're only one match win ahead of us, but we're only 14 up. The Bullies now find themselves in the down column, and Brennan is still just taking it pretty raw dog.
It's a big down. That's a lot down. I reckon we might be up against the Wallies this week at Glow, or next week at Glow. So big. We'll have to see if you're there. We'll have to try to bring Marcus out of retirement. See if he's still shit or not. Should be a big one.
Pumped. Can't remember the last time I threw glow frisbees.
Yeah, right? It's been a while. All right, we've got a good tourney coming up that you and I are both going to be at. So, we'll have a look at that, and we'll have a look at the Melbourne version as well. So, Oz Disc Day across the nation, as you'd imagine, being Oz Disc Day. But you and I are going to be in Ballarat. That's still on the cards?
I'm there. I'm there with bells on.
Yes. I'm there already. I'm keen as. The weather's not looking ideal. I don't think it'll rain. It says it will, but it won't. Because I'm too keen.
Nice. That's good to know.
Not a big field.
No.
But... yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a bit of disc golf going on. Maybe people are just taking a bit of a detox. Not sure. But it should be good. In the MPO, it's just you and Tim and Nate Parrish. So what's happening there? Any upsets? You getting it done?
No, I'm not. I mean, they best not let me win. Yellow, two laps of yellow. You reckon you get minus five for showing up on the yellow? I'll be stoked if I finish the day minus 10. And if I finish the day minus 10, I'm not winning. So, no, I shouldn't.
I'm looking at the you versus Nath Parrish battle. That's exciting me. I'm pretty excited about that one. Nate's been playing pretty good lately. You don't play disc golf anymore. Let's not worry about how much Tim win by. Let's just have a look at you versus Nate. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm very excited about my division. I swear the last time I looked at it, I saw names, Benedict O'Byrne. I feel like Ethan Lewis was there at least. Yeah. And now I'm seeing names like Sean Freeman.
Now you're winning in the canter.
It has been 2 years since I've had a win, so I'm not going to proclaim it. And it's definitely not going to be my thrower's guarantee, because as soon as I do that, then everyone that's ever good at disc golf will somehow sign up. But I'm pretty excited to show up to this one. Let's just say that there's some guys that can play there for sure. But the Ballarat Yellows is my favorite course to play in Victoria, I think. I always play well there, I believe. And my last win came in Ballarat. So the big wet of 2022. And we may as well revisit it real quick.
It would be rude not to.
So it was Alan Brunson in a big MA1 field of four. And I had a 7-stroke victory over Ryan Hart. Another 4 back of that was Ryan Michelle. And another 2 back of that was Nath Parrish. I just dominated. Absolutely dominated. Big names too. Ryan Hart, Ryan Michelle, Nath Parrish. Just, God, I was good back then.
Yeah, huge.
Or maybe they were shit. I don't know. and you and I both shot the same score. We both got -7. That was a yellow and a blue. But yeah, that was a good time. So I'm backing myself in. Let's just say that.
Good for you. Imagine if Throllers get the both take down the W. Jeez, that'd be big for the podcast.
Oh we'd do a live one on the way
home. I wouldn't get this head back in this car.
Exactly. What else? Are there any other spicy battles going on?
All the divisions are small, but they're all got their own bit of spice.
Too small.
You see, Carey Edwards probably not going to have much going on in MA50, but MA40, Lee's due to get one back, but you got Mark Carter, the local there. You got Chris Scott.
Nah,
you're right. MA2 is toit.
That's where MA2 we're looking. That's where we're like looking. MA2. who's in that?
You got Lewis Pennell, and then you've got the Wooden Spoonhams themselves, Duncan and Picanti. And the Wooden Spoon is up for grabs. Like, Lewis just needs to get second or first, and Aaron might be able to offload the spoon. But anyone, who knows? Who knows who's taking that?
Oh, any one of them could win it or lose it by 10. That's great. I'm excited about that battle for sure. Yeah. MA3, the biggest field with 8, which is exciting. Ash Wiedner there. So I wonder if he's going to pull out his ace disc. We shall see.
We shall see. But, you know, David Wood has it in him. Like, he is a smoky. And Matt Daniels plays Ballarat a bit. Like, I feel like there's a few players up to their eyeballs in MA3.
Nah, definitely. And MA4, I've seen a strange name in there. We've got Georgia Carroll in MA4, even though Emma is playing in FA1.
Yeah.
What's going on
Not
there?
Not sure. And you've got Kim Michelle in FA2. So are they just, like, trying to take home some silverware, all of them?
Maybe.
What are they doing?
They can get 3 ladies with the trophies.
Because I'm also seeing a Bridget in FA3, like, with no links. I don't know who Bridget is, but yeah, there's something going on here. And then you've also got Emily in FA4. There's some shenanigans here. There's some shenanigans.
They're just going to have a photo that's going to have like 5 women with trophies and be like, we dominated Ballarat. But George is a red hot chance there in MA4.
Yep.
Red hot chance.
Yep.
So that'd be a cool one to watch as well. All right, you got any throwers guarantee stuff here or is
nah,
it somewhere
right
else?
Here. It's right here. Excellent. All right, so I alluded to this either on air or off air, but I'm going to see how you point this, and depending on how you point it, I might flip it to see if you'll give me the inverse operation of those points. All right?
Yeah.
So this gotcha. Is what I'm going to go with. All right, I'm looking at the very small MPO field and the very small MA1 field. But I'm going to say this. The MPO field will trounce the MA1 field.
Yeah.
All right.
They will.
So point me up. So MPO. Obviously you know what I mean, right? So like the bottom of MPO will do better than the top in MA1.
Oh, that's. I assumed you were going for some sort of combined score.
MPO. Bottom of MPO will score better than the best in MA1.
Oh, so you just me versus Nate Parrish? Is what you're trying to say?
Okay, or you versus me potentially?
Yeah, exactly. Oof. Interesting. So bottom of MPO, top of MA1. This is a little tough. I think they will. I've been losing to all of you people, and I think I'm winning this MA1. So I'll give you, it's 4 and 6, I guess then. So,
four for the first version, 4 for MPO to get it done.
Yeah. Bottom MPO will be better than MA1, 4 and then 6. Have I done that right? I'll probably stuff myself here.
No, that's right.
Yeah. So six for top of MA1 to be third, at least in MPO.
All right. Here's a clarifying question based on how you've answered this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've done it how I anticipated you to do it. But can I have it both ways?
No. What do you mean?
Just the way you were answering that. It was like you can have 6 if it goes that way or 4 if it goes that way.
Oh, fuck no. No, you can pick. You can pick which one you want. I think one's more likely to happen than the other, and you can tell me. Yeah, right, I'm just being a nice guy here.
All right. If you went... I don't know if it's worth flipping now. Geez, this is a fun game. I'll take the four. I'm backing us in, boys. You better be listening, Tim and Nathan. I'm backing us in.
Good. Good.
All right.
So, yeah, no one at MPO will lose to MO1. So, you got to beat them. That's the other thing. Can't be tied. You got to beat them. And you get four big points.
All right. Sweet. Yep.
All right. Nice. I don't know. I've had a lot of different versions of this. I shouldn't do this because I'm mentally weak. But I want to put it on me. Okay. What's the weather looking like? Is it going to rain much?
Not great is what people are saying.
Oh. Okay.
I haven't looked, but... Yeah, but that not great is what people are saying.
I might change that then. I don't know. I had something to do with let's do I want you to pick a line for me for how many bogeys I will get this weekend. So whatever you think is a fair line, how many 0.5 da da da, and I'll go over under, and that'll be worth 5 points.
All right, sweet. I got you. I'm just going to see if I can get this weather up.
Yeah, it's a big fat. I was going to pick it myself and then see what number you gave me, and I'm like, maybe I can be sneaky here and make you pick. Right, I've got a number in my head of how many bogeys I'll get the weekend.
You're going to bogey. I want to walk you through it, right? So you're going to bogey 6 both times. You're going to bogey 8 once, and there's many other bogeys out there. I'm assuming they're not probably, they're not going to do OB on 17 or anything like that. So there's three. I'm going to set your line at, yeah, I think it is. I'm going to, what's the weather? Let's just quickly gaze that. Saturday.
Could be a big factor, the weather. Could bogey every hole if it's wet.
Chilly, but only 1 to 4 millimetres, so it's not wet.
Okay.
And it's not looking windy. All right, so let me just make sure. It's been so long since I've been in Ballarat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you could shank it, but hopefully you don't. 6, you bogey twice. 7, you shouldn't bogey. 8, you shouldn't bogey. 9. I'm going to set your line at 3.5. 2 bogeys on 6 and 1 bogey wherever else I said you're going to get it. I'm going to set your line at 3.5.
Ah, that's too low. I don't like that. I had 4.5 as my line in my head. So I was hoping you were leading that way. Because I want to say under. I think I'll get 4. I think I'm going to get 4 on the day. That's what I've got in my head.
Okay.
But I don't like. I'll take the over then.
All right.
I'll take the over. I don't want it. I think in my head I'll get none. But I'll get 4. So over 3.5 bogeys for me. Yeah, oh, beautiful.
I'll friggin' hate this if you're winning by 6 strokes going into 18. and you're like, you're sitting on 3 bogeys. So you're like, I'm just going to get one more bogey here.
But it works the other way too, because I got to make sure that someone in MA1 beats you, Nate, or Tim.
Yeah. Now, so can I just
give strokes.
Clarify on this as well. When I said 3.5, I was treating like any potential double bogeys as like a bogey.
Oh, yeah. The double's 2 bogeys.
No. So like if I'm not accounting for a mere hole, like I'm just saying there's going to be 3.5 holes where you go over the card.
Sounds good. Even better. Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. Agreed.
So like if you have a triple bogey, that's a bogey.
Yep.
Yeah, you got me.
Sounds great. Yep. Yeah, perfect. That's good. I think you just let me off the hook a little there. Perfect.
Yep. I don't think I did.
I would have agreed. Nah, it doesn't matter now. Yep, yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's it. Sweet. 3.5 holes will have grey numbers on them. I think it'll be more than that. So if I get 4 or more bogeys, I get 5 points.
Yep.
I think this is worth that. Great for me.
All right, sweet.
All right, I wanted to look at what's happened at Ruffy. I think that is full, but I forgot to get it up. I reckon Ryan.
I eventually got it up.
Oh, excellent.
It's obviously on a different day.
Yeah, the next day. I'm surprised I'm not playing both, actually.
Okay, I'm definitely not playing both, but Nathan Parrish is playing both.
Of course he is. He loves it.
He's up against Ryan Deere in the NPO, so that's a bring your Vaseline, surely.
That's a tough ask at Ruffy.
Yeah.
Oscar in MA1 hopefully just gives them – a few of those guys need a touch-up, I think.
Yeah.
Tim Ware's been playing too good. Juan's been playing too good. And Kalen can always use a touch-up, I reckon. He throws too good.
Yeah. Now, the fact that some of those names are throwing their name into the MA1 hat tells you all you need to know. Oscar needs to give them a bit of a touch-up.
Yeah, I hope he wins by 3 or 4. That'd be really good. That'd make my day.
Yep.
any other spicy battles? MA50's big. Jeez, the boys like to play there.
Yeah, they've all come. You reckon the MA50 have a group chat?
Oh, they do. I know they do.
Oh, they'd have to. Like, this is lit up in the group chat.
Yeah. Nah, they definitely do.
Yeah.
The old man knows. He's in it.
Yeah.
They've got an old blokes chat where they, I don't know, tell each other about all the good or creams and ointments that take care of the knee pain and I don't know. But they organize their little events. They were having like a Tuesday over 50s club as well before the Globe Doubles, and then they'd all just leave before the young people came. But, yeah, that'd be spicy. All the big names for the Melbourne MA50 guys are all there. So, good one to watch. Hopefully, our boy Alex Evans takes it out.
Yeah. Hopefully. MA3, there's a few names kicking around there as well. Levi Norton.
Did good for me at the last social day, so he might do some damage.
Yeah, coming in without the PDGA number. I wonder if he's been turned off by the old Masters, the Bud Hill Masters PDGA saga.
Sure, maybe.
There's a lot of I just love looking at like Melbourne events and just going, who are these people?
Yeah, I know, right? MA4 has no PDGA numbers.
I feel like Phil Hall is a name that kicks around, but
yeah. He plays plenty of the social days.
But don't know a lot of these people.
Nah, it should be should still be an interesting one. And it'd be cool to see how it rates. I feel like the Ballarat Yellows always rate really well, so if one of us is going to take out a Australian championship, then it's going to be the Ballarat one, not the Ruffy one, I believe.
Yes.
But Ryan Deere might just shoot 18 down or something stupid and then get a pretty spicy one.
That's also possible.
I think, bit of spotlight, not light to finish this off.
Yep. You got much?
No, I honestly completely forgot about it. Have a go. I'll think.
I can't think of any not lights. I've got some spotlights.
Nice. Yeah.
So my honourable mention spotlight is going to go to Gannon Burr and this crazy Q Series event that played up in Canada over the weekend just gone. He averaged 1080 and smacked the Robinson brothers. That's just ridiculous. Average 1080 takes down the two-time world champ by like 12 strokes and that's who got second. He was 12 strokes ahead of second.
Oh boy.
So he can have my honorable mention. My spotlight's going to go to Jeremy Colling. I didn't actually know where I sat on this, but the more I listened to him, I originally had him written in my not light and he's landed in my spotlight. So Eric Oakley, following D-Glow, put out a post saying how they miss playing in Europe. And Jeremy then went on a 10-minute rant basically on Facebook Live saying how course designers need to step up. And we're just like on a fast trajectory to nowhere with some of the course design approaches. Basically, Jerm and Brody are an absolute loggerheads here. Jerm's just like, I've had enough of these like 700-foot par threes with OB left and right. Like, there's only a very specific type of player that can birdie that. And it's just narrowing the field. And there's a crop of players coming through that fit that mold, but it is that. It's a mold. And it is less and less variety of players will have success on tour. And I concur. So my spotlight goes to Jeremy Colling.
Nice. Yeah, no, it was good. I did have a listen to that with him and Brody.
Yeah.
It was good. He very well spoken. And, yeah, he hates the toboggan course, which is wild because I like watching it. I think that's a good watch.
Yeah.
But he hates it. He's like, nah, the course sucks. I was like, oh, okay. Sorry. But, yeah, cool. I actually do have a spotlight. I forgot. I have a spotlight and all that. So my spotlight goes to Tassie's own Matty G, Matt Green, friend of ours. He got me onto some weird streaming thing. Don't know exactly what's called Plex. Didn't know too much about it, but you can put like your own personal media and stuff on it, and then it makes it like Netflix and stuff for that. And so he got me onto his servers, and they have he's got Futurama on it, and I've been wanting to watch Futurama again forever. Because it used to be on something we had and we got rid of it or they moved it. I can't remember. But I'm back watching Futurama a bit. So, thanks, Matty G. What a guy.
That's good.
And my not light, I think it's going to have to go to Paddy Robinson because he is trying to take away something special from you. And I just need to have your back.
Thank you.
What do you think is your best single skill in disc golf?
Best single skill in disc golf. My choice of hats.
No, like actual disc golf skill, like on a course. What are you best at? And that not that many people that can hang with you in that.
I can putt pretty well sometimes.
What about like from like 11, 12?
I like just sure. I like a little stepper putt. Yes.
Yeah, love a stepper putt. Yeah. I feel like you never miss a stepper putt.
Yeah, good. I love this for me.
Yeah. And Patty wants to take that away from you. So he didn't specifically say you, but I feel like from his tone, that's what I got, that he wants it to take it away from you specifically. But he was asked on the tee off by a listener, like, what would be one thing that he would want to change? And he wants to move circle one out to like 15 meters so that people can't step putt. He's like, I hate all those people. Like, I feel like he muttered under his breath, Chris Reynolds, that from like just edge of circle, 11 meters, they just do those dinky little steppers. He's like, nah. And I was just, I'm pushing back on that. It's good. It's a skill.
He also
may have shit on people who throw tomahawks. I might have a little vendetta as well. But, my not like goes to Patty Robinson, who's trying to take tomahawks away from me and step putts away from you. Just leave us alone, mate. We don't have that much.
We have nothing. Please leave us alone.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me back, Alan.
I got you, mate. All right, cool. That wraps us up for another week. I'll see you on Saturday.
Pumped.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.